if we are doing things exactly like our competition, then we end up becoming the average of our competition. And the average competition goes out of business within about 5 years.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok.
My guest today is Daniel Den. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Daniel. One, he grew a wildly successful marketing movement where his biggest in-person event was for 7,400 people. Two, he is the author of the new book, Ideas That Influence. And three, Daniel lives with his wife and four kids in Florida. So no snow for him over Christmas. Daniel, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Hey, George. Pleasure to be here. So happy to be on the Your Intended Message podcast with the famous George, helping so many people with their, you know, speaking abilities in general. Like, I'm a fan. I've listened to a lot of the podcasts, written down a bunch of tips. And super, super happy to be here and see if there's, you know, maybe a story or two that I can contribute to the audience. So thank you so much.
And Daniel, our theme today, our message today is about being different with your message to make it stand out and to make it stick. And just a little bit of background for our listeners. Daniel was good enough to send me his book ahead of time, which every once in a while an author does send me the book, and I always appreciate it because I'm a reader and I'm interested in the message. But what was more significant, what Daniel did that was different than the average author, is he sent me this surprise package box that the book was in, which has more goodies than I've managed to get my way through. And now I'm having trouble opening the box. But you can hear it's full of neat goodies inside there. So I'm still working on that, enjoying the book. It's about being different. Daniel.
Thank you.
The message being different is not a new message. So what was it that impressed you to realize that different meant not just a little bit different, but a lot different? What was it? Was it an event? Was it?
Yeah.
Was it something your grandfather said to you?
That's a great question. So I ran into the whole problem of copycat competitors. I know you've run into it, George. I know many of your listeners have run into, well, let's say you launched something amazing and then 2 months later, somebody's copying you. And what we have is we have kind of a problem in the business world where too many people, they fall into the trap of being a Me Too business. And the Me Too business phenomenon, you know, boils down to this. You see that people are like, they're having success. And you're like, hey, I want to have success too. So I don't know, like, for example, lots of people are starting marketing agencies nowadays, and there's really healthy margins with marketing agencies. And so you get more and more people that say, hey, me too, I can start a marketing agency. And so they jump in and they start a marketing agency. And that's fine because competition is good. Competition is healthy. The problem is how people act when they start their Me Too business. Because what normally happens is people jump in and they say, all right, I got to do things different, right? If I want to stand out. And their idea of doing things different is by borrowing ideas. So they'll say, hey, this is how everybody does their logo. Let me make one that's a little bit different. And then, oh, this is how everybody does their offers. Let me do one a little bit different. Oh, here's the services people provide. I'll keep those because it sounds like that's what people are buying. this is how people do their pricing. Oh, all right. So I'll price mine very similarly. And then they're like, oh, well, because my logo is a little bit different, I'm different. Like, look, my logo is different. And I have a couple of offers that are a little bit different. So I'm different enough. And so they think they're different enough and they mix up all of these ideas that they have for their new business. And they successfully compete and look like everybody else. So when it comes to the Me Too business, they succeed in building that Me Too business. And they look like exactly what everybody is doing in their market. And George, you know from experience that if we are doing things exactly like our competition, then we end up becoming the average of our competition. And the average competition goes out of business within about 5 years. That is the sad reality of business. And so I ran into a problem personally where I was doing some things differently and people would copy those few things that I did differently. So for example, both you and I, George, were kind of, we could say we're kind of seasoned marketers. So one of the things that I did that was radically different was right around 2008, 2009, I was the very first person ever to create an online advertorial selling car insurance. Now, I've verified this. Like, I've looked in like newspaper archives and like to see if like people have created like a car insurance advertorial in the newspapers like way back in the day. And I couldn't find anything. And I looked all over the internet. And sure enough, I was the very first person in the world that created an article style advertisement, an advertorial, aka an advertorial, in order to sell car insurance. And I launched this car insurance advertorial and I started to sell a lot. And I mean a lot of car insurance, so much so that I started to receive commission checks around $100,000 a month. And I would buy all this website traffic and send it to my online advertorial. And I was like, you know what, George, I hit this massive home run. Like, I would be like, oh man, I'm gonna retire within the next few years. Like, I thought I had made it in life, right? And then for about 6 months, I was still the only one until one day somebody completely ripped off my page. And when I say completely, I mean like completely. Like, it was an exact copy of my my car insurance advertorial. And they started advertising a different car insurance offer. And then I was like, all right, it's just one person. I still have the competitive advantage. I have all this data. I know where to buy the traffic. And so I was still good. But then a few weeks later, another person copied. And then a few months later, I had 10, 12, 15 copycats. And by the end of the first year of me running this advertorial, I had about 50 competitors. Oh man, George, I was like, man, this is so frustrating. So what I ran into was the fact that I did something different, but it wasn't different enough. Okay. And that's where we get into the whole concept of the X factor effect and what we started to do to help our students. So the short story behind that is I joined forces with Pedro Superti. He is the co-author of Ideas That Influence. And we started to build this movement all around being different enough. And what we did was we came up with these 9 different pillars for differentiating your business. And what we discovered is that if we take one big difference, but then stack that with another big difference, and then stack that with 2 or 3 big differences, additional differences, then you can get to the point where you become such a unicorn in your market where the barrier of copyability is just too high and where it would be laughable if somebody decided to copy you after you had implemented all of those differences. And so amongst the 9 different pillars that we've come up with, we help people become drastically different to the point where they are a unicorn inside of their market, where they can quickly become a market leader or category king or category queen. And that makes all the difference. That makes all the difference.
Okay, Daniel, you've teased us with these 9 pillars. Tell us about some of them and have you got examples?
Yeah, well, one of the nine pillars is the book that you have in your hand, Ideas That Influence, which we'll jump into here shortly because we're all about talking about messaging here on Your Intended Message. So that's all about coming up with a unique marketing message that breaks through the noise. So in and of itself, if you market in a different way, if you can break through the noise with your marketing message, that's one big thing. But as you learn from the car insurance advertorial example that I just gave, if I market in one different way, it can work for a while until all of the Me Too businesses say, hey, look what he's doing. That's working. Let me do that too, right? And so we need more. We need more different pillars of differentiation in order to do things differently enough that you stand out and so that barrier of entry is really, really high and so that it becomes laughable for people to copy you. Now, one of our pillars out of the nine, I'm not going to jump into all of them, George, but we'll hit on a few. One of them that like our students absolutely love, we call it joining the age of experience. And the age of experience, what we found, George, is that we all have enough stuff. We all are blessed today. We all have lots of stuff, mass produced. We can pretty much get access to anything. And in today's world, stuff is not what people want anymore. What people want more is a great experience. And they're willing to spend their disposable income on a great experience. For example, you, just yesterday, George, you went on a little trip in order to experience something incredible. You said you went on a train ride, right?
Yes.
A train ride over to Brock University near Niagara Falls for an eclipse experience. And I got super jealous because here's the thing about experiences. Like, what's the monetary value of the experience that you had yesterday, George?
Oh, you can't put a value on it.
Right.
You can't say it's worth $100. It's worth $1,000. It's not something you can take to the bank, but it's a memory, and memories are invaluable.
Exactly. Memories are invaluable. And that's why in the age of experience, if you can add an experience to the sale of your product or service, you have a massive competitive advantage. And that is why, George, when I sent you my book, I sent it in a box experience, an interactive box experience. It came with the 5 experience envelopes, because what I realized when I was going to launch Ideas That Influence is that people love a great book, and that's what I wrote. Ideas That Influence is a great book. I wrote a great book, but a great book is also a commodity, unfortunately. In order to break through the noise, with my own product, to practice what I preach, I decided to use the pillar of, hey, we're in the age of experience. Let me add experience to this book in a way that nobody's ever seen. And so when it comes to receiving a box worth of goodies, worth of, you know, surprises that you open, tools that you open that help you follow along with the book, that's not stuff per se. That is an experience that is very memorable. And I've had a lot of people, in fact, so far, George, 1 out of every 3 people that have bought my box experience have posted about it on social media in some way, shape, or form, because they were so stoked that they got this really cool experience that came along with a book. How many books do you know of where 1 out of 3 people that buy it post about it on social media? Not very many, right? And that's where the pillar of a great experience can come along. So those are 2 of the 9. George, what are your thoughts on these first 2 pillars that I revealed?
And I did get the box open. So there's some of the items that I found inside. So each one in itself is, 1, it's tactile. And 2, there's a surprise. Each one is a little surprise, and it's like, oh, I wonder what's in this envelope, and oh, there's a QR code to scan here, and so it it's still an experience, and it's so much so because I'm a reader, so I'm reading the book first, and then I'm going to go back through it again and interact with the material. So actually, the experience is more than just reading the book. No question. Yeah.
Well, George, I'm super happy that you're enjoying it, and that experience that leads into multiple other pillars that we teach. I'll hit on just one more. What we try to do is we try to at least have people apply what we call the Apple effect. Now, the Apple effect inside of your business is when you can create a family of brands that support each other. And but not only brands that support each other, a brand experience. And that's why we call it the Apple effect, because Apple is a great example of brand experiences, but also creating a family of brands that support each other. For example, the iPhone is not just one brand. When the iPhone launched, it came with what? Lots of other cool stuff, including iTouch, the App Store. Now we have other really cool things that are part of the brand of the family of brands inside of Apple. So now we have Apple Pay. We've got so many cool little things and features, and every single one has a cool name. I really love when the Model X came out from for Tesla. They named their doors. Do you know what they named the doors, George? They named the doors the Falcon Wing doors.
Oh.
For the Model X. They're called the Falcon Wing doors. And that's an example of creating a family of brands with brand experiences. Falcon Wing doors are a brand experience. Apple Pay is a brand experience. iTouch is a brand experience. Ideas that influence the interactive book box experience is one of our brand experiences. Another one of our brand experiences is we have an event called Magic. And the event, as you can imagine, we try to make it pretty magical, but also marketing and business related. And so what is the family of brands that you're building that can support each other inside of your business, where each brand creates a brand activation that's a differentiator, and not only just for the name of the product, but also for features of the product? Remember, Model X, Falcon Wing doors, two brands, and then they have other names for different features inside of their product as well. So,
I'm hearing, Daniel, that it's possible to have for a company to have more than one strong brand that doesn't compete with each other.
Yeah, that's why we say a family of brands, right? So we want everything to be congruent. We want everything to work with each other. It took us a long time. I've been working with Pedro Superti for 11 years, and now we have really dialed in these nine pillars. Well, we started with seven steps. Seven steps turned into, well, wait a second, there's a lot more ways with the X factor effect that we can differentiate our business outside of seven steps. We're looking at like 100 different possibilities now. And instead of telling people, hey, do steps 1 to 100 or 1 out of 100 possibilities, we say, no, inside of your niche market, there's a lot of different cool things that you could do. Let's just do enough of them and stack them in a really cool way that your dream customers love. And when we stack those differences in a way that our dream customers love, that are different enough for the competition, and when we raise that bar, it's about raising that bar to the point where it's laughable for your competition to try to copy everything that you're doing. If you have a really cool guarantee, all right, you got a really cool guarantee, but somebody can copy the guarantee. It's just like, by next week, they can copy the guarantee. What's the barrier of entry for copying your guarantee? Well, next week, they have the same guarantee. But creating a box experience the way that we did it, that's going to take a while. All right. So there you go. How can you stack those differences and raise that bar of differentiation?
Yeah, and there's no question. As I was going through the box experience in the book, and I'm seeing all the interconnections, the thought going through my mind is, wow, this took a long time to put together. There's a lot of thinking and coordination that's gone into this. I don't know. I wouldn't want to be the one to have to create this myself. I'm not going to copy. This is too much there. It's fascinating. And at the same time, I see all the little pieces, how they're all coordinated. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a lot of work there, which then says, okay, they must be good. If they put this much work into their messaging, they must be good.
Oh, thank you, George. The ultimate goal, and this is a writer downer. Ooh, we love writer downers, right? So, George, the ultimate goal is differentiate your business to the point where you make your competition irrelevant. Meaning what? Like, there isn't any more price wars going on because you differentiated yourself to the point where you, inside of your niche market, you are so radically different than the rest of your competitors. And you've gotten to the point where they don't want to copy you because you're so different. And it would be laughable if they did copy you the way that you are different, that you've literally kind of created a niche for yourself inside of your niche. It's not niching down. That's a different concept. And that's a great way of differentiating yourself. If you've ever read the book Niche Down, which I completely suggest, but niching down is just one thing. But niching yourself and being different to the point where nobody can like do things the way you do inside of your market, that's when you're that unicorn and that desirable unicorn. And that's where you've gotten to the point where you've made your competition irrelevant because your customers, they're not going to go to you if you're the unicorn and say, well, XYZ Corp is doing it for 50% less. Because they can't say that because what you're doing is too radically different for them to say XYZ Corp is doing it for 50% less. There's no comparison anymore, even though you're in the same niche.
And what I just heard there, Daniel, is that people who try to differentiate by charging less money, that's easy to copy. And then you're racing to the bottom unless you're like Walmart and you have a super efficient supply chain system.
Oh yeah. Yeah. 100%. So one of my favorite quotes of all time, I believe it's, here we go. I found it. It's, Dan Ogilvy. You a fan of, our old friend?
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Here it is. All right. Any damn fool can put on a deal, but it takes genius, faith, and perseverance to create a brand. That is one of my favorite business quotes of all time, Dan Ogilvy. And it's so good, I'm going to repeat it. Any damn fool can put on a deal. Or in other words, any damn fool can discount. Anybody can discount, right? Any damn fool can put on a deal, but it takes genius, faith, and perseverance to create a brand. We could stop the episode right here. Mm. You just go home, post that on your wall, and then it's like, okay, let's get to work. Let's get to work, George.
Mm, powerful. And I'm thinking of, so here's a question, and I'll give you an example of, A self introduction. I heard at one, you know those networking meetings,
right?
And this person said, and I couldn't believe that they were just lazy in their introduction, but they said, "I'm a lawyer. What can I say about lawyers?" I couldn't believe that the person wasted that opportunity to introduce themselves. Now, being a lawyer, there's a lot of lawyers around. So, how might a lawyer differentiate themselves?
Well, first of all, like we mentioned niching down, like, all right, what type of lawyer are we talking about here? Right. second of all, personality. Like, so one of the pillars is like the celebrity code. So do you want to hire the lawyer that says, I'm a lawyer, what can I say about lawyers? No, you don't. You want to find somebody that like you actually want to talk to, because that's boring. Like, so one of our pillars is called the celebrity code. It's all about differentiating yourself and turning yourself into that attractive character that people want to listen to. It's about, you know, in the case of a lawyer, like positioning yourself. It's about positioning and positioning yourself at least as the authority in whatever niche you are. So if you're a divorce lawyer, let's position ourselves. Like, how are we different in a way that we're like the like perceived as the best or one of the best? And that could be, well, you know, you've got this free, you know, five part mini series that you're gonna mail to them, that comes with a bag of popcorn and you know, some candies or whatever. You're gonna send it to them as an intro package, and they're gonna watch it, and they're gonna learn about the top five mistakes that they should avoid before filing the papers, whatever it is. Like, and then that in and of itself, it's like, okay, you're creating an experience, you're positioning yourself as an authority because you're going to give them tips about the five biggest mistakes. And that was just off of the top of my head, right? Like, that's the first time I've shared that example. If we go through and we look at all the ways to differentiate ourselves and with our messaging and everything, you're the messaging king, George. There's a million different ways with the messaging and how he could have introduced themselves where he could have sparked interest immediately and said, you know, not only am I, you know, one of the most respected divorce attorneys as well, but anybody, if, you know, I don't know if whoever's listening today, hit me up. I've got a free gift. It's worth $500. I'm going to mail it to you if you're interested. If you're thinking about filing papers, it's, you're going to want to have this. You're going to want to take a look before you think about filing those papers. And then, I don't know, with that networking group, out of the 100 people, statistically, there's probably three or four of them that say, I don't know what this $500 gift is, but if he's going to mail it to me for free, I'm interested. And then that's a lead that's probably going to turn into a sale, right? And then just like that, he went from, hey, I'm just a lawyer, what can I say about lawyers, to now I got three or four leads because I didn't blow the opportunity of telling people what I do in front of this group of 100 highly influential and possibly wealthy people.
What are some of the first questions a person should ask themselves if they're in a business? Because everyone's got competition. Every market is competitive. So where do they start to find out how they could be different and if they can live with that difference?
You might not like the answer because it's the boring answer. And it's the answer that you know, George. You know the answer to this one. You have to start with avatar. As boring as it is, and we've talked about it on Your Intended Message. And when I say we, I mean you and your guests have talked about this multiple times. It starts with the avatar. Now, we say, and with the X Factor Effect methodology, we say that you want to marry the perfect avatar. Marrying the perfect avatar is a two-way street. It's the avatar that you attract through your differences. That's one side of the equation. But it's also the avatar that you actually want to work with. And George, both of you and I have both, from experience, we've worked with avatars that we did not like. And so in those cases, you got to cut off that relationship. You got to say, hey, I got to switch up my messaging in some way, shape, or form because I'm attracting the type of person that I do not want to work with. For me personally, my ideal customer, my ideal avatar is business owners who over the past year have been struggling with their marketing in some way, shape, or form, and they're involved in their marketing. My avatar, when I first started working with Pedro Superti 11 years ago, was BizOp seekers. And I tell you what, we started to get really frustrated really fast working with BizOp people, because we wanted to talk about super high strat, super top, like strategy, like, you know, like let's take over the world with your business type strategies. And we were dealing with people that were like, they just wanted to make an extra $1,000 next month. It wasn't working. We were not marrying the perfect avatar. And so we switched up our avatar and we started to switch up the way we positioned ourselves and our messaging so that we attracted that perfect avatar. And then everything was great because we started working with the people that we wanted to work with.
Mm, and I can see that as maybe taking track of, so who are the people that you've worked with that you enjoyed working with the most and got the best benefit and appreciation from, versus who are the ones that you really hated even just talking to? And now you know what you don't want more of, so don't attract that people. Daniel, if folks are interested in getting their own idea box, woo-hoo, the place to get that is at the website bigideasbox.com, and you can find that link in the description below. As we prepare to wrap up, if you could sit down with an ideal business owner who wants to differentiate themselves, they're in a competitive market, they don't want to compete on price, and they want to attract the right type of people. If you could give them advice, one, two, or three things, what are the first questions they need to ask themselves?
Yeah. So one of the first things, especially if they're competing on price, is crystal clear that I'm being compared apple to apple. If you put what I'm selling today, my service, let's say I'm a dentist. All right, we've got our teeth whitening service. Our teeth whitening service, it's $799. They come for five visits and they get XYZ. Okay, whatever. All right. How similar does that look to everybody else selling similar service in my area? So one of the things we start with when it comes to price wars is, hey, one of the easiest things we can do is we can differentiate. We can mix up how we sell and how we do our offers. There's different offer creation things that we can do. For like a simple example, what could be, you know, let's bundle that with the teeth cleaning and then the checkup and everything. And maybe it ends up being that we're actually the dentist and the only dentist within a 75-mile radius where our $799 teeth whitening package is actually included. It is free as part of the services that we offer you. Maybe that's the way we differentiate ourselves. And so we're bundling, we're doing different offers so that you can't be compared to apple to apple. That is what happens with commoditization in general. I love the example of Chevron. If you go to Chevron, if you haven't noticed, you pay a little bit more for your gas at Chevron. And people pay it. And it's very subtle why people are okay with paying a little bit more for Chevron gas. And it's because your Chevron gas comes with this special thing that none of us know anything about called Techron. Chevron with Techron. What is Techron? I don't know, but it's different. And it, apparently it's better for my vehicle. And so I pay 10 or 15 or 20 cents more per gallon because it's Chevron with Techron. I don't know what Techron is. Do you know what Techron is, George?
No idea.
No idea. All I know is it's different. And so in some subtle way, my mind is telling me that different is the new better. In some way, Techron is better than the normal 7-Eleven gas station gas. Chevron with Techron is for some reason better. And so when it comes to the apple to apple comparison, you need to switch up. One of the first things you do is you switch up those things in some way, shape, or form, even if it's subtle, like Techron. Like, okay, that's the differentiator, Techron, right? What's your Techron? What's the Techron that you're doing that makes you slightly different in the way with the offers? That's where we start, George. If they already have their avatar dialed in, which if you're competing on price, you're making sales, sometimes you have it dialed in and sometimes you don't. So we're either starting with the avatar aspect or the offer aspect. And that's where we normally start before we jump into the other pillars of differentiation.
Valuable advice. My guest today is Daniel Den, reminding you that you need to differentiate yourself from the pack so that you make them irrelevant.
If you like what you heard, tell your friends and post your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, because that helps more listeners find us. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.